Welcome to the Down Dunk Podcast. This is your host, Andrew Schleck, and today we have special guest Sam Vecenie from CBS Sports to talk NBA draft. Sam, how you doing?
Pretty good. How's it going, Andrew?
Going good. So now the hope, that lots of Thunder fans, we haven't been in a position to be in a draft lottery in a long time, so everybody was hanging on to this hope that somehow they were going to get a top three pick, and now that's completely gone. So we can actually focus on the 14th pick. And we kind of talked about this before the podcast, but there are so many guys, I feel like, in this draft that could be taken at 14. Tell me this. Is this a deep draft as far as like role players go, or am I just overzealous?
Okay, so this draft's kind of weird in that I would say the first round runs very deep. It runs to about 26 players, I would say, where I feel reasonably confident that they're going to be like solid players in the NBA. Hmm. Once you get past that, I feel no confidence whatsoever.
Okay.
I don't think the second round is strong this year. I think you're going to see a lot of stashes in the second round. I think I have 13 right now in my mock draft. Plus, you have major question marks like Robert Upshaw down there. Mm-hmm. Chris McCullough coming off of injury. So there will be players that pop up from that range that end up having solid careers. But once you get past that 26 mark, I think that you can't really call it a deep draft.
Okay.
But before that mark, and with the 14 pick that you're talking about, I think this is a very deep draft. Like you're looking at someone like, Cameron Payne right now. Payne's sitting at 21 on my mock draft.
Right.
And part of that is just due to like what's around him, basically. Mm-hmm. Jaren Grant is a really good player. He might fit a better place. Tyus Jones might fit better in another place. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see some of these really strong prospects fall. It's just the way it is every year.
Mm-hmm.
And someone's going to really benefit from it, and it might be the Thunder.
So there's several guys. One guy that I've kind of fallen in love with as a prospect, and he's a guy who a lot of people are saying should go in the 20s, Justin Anderson. He had a ridiculous percentage from three. I think he was 45% from three this past year. I know that he was like 29% the year before, so this, it could be an aberration. He's 6'6", he's 231, he's a big dude, seems like he can guard multiple positions, and seems like a guy, and he even described himself like this, a Danny Green type guy, and he seems like the perfect role player for a team like the Thunder. Tell me why he... Do you think that he could be actually taken at 14, or do you think that's too much of a reach?
He might be a little bit too much of a reach just because he is, he's a guy that kind of struggles to shoot a little bit from time to time. Like at the combine, he wasn't particularly good as a shooter. His mechanics kind of went away from him. He got injured at the end of the year, broke his finger on his shooting hand.
Okay.
And what ended up happening was when he came back, his shot mechanics ended up looking off, and he still hasn't really fixed them since then, because he was a guy that, as a sophomore, as a freshman, he really wasn't a very good shooter. He had a very slingshotty kind of shot where he had no balance whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
One thing he did this year is he fixed his balance and he started getting his elbow more of a 90-degree angle, which is what you want from a jump shot. It makes the shot a lot simpler, a lot quicker. And he started to do that this year, and that's why you saw the big jump in his three-point percentage. But at the combine, those mechanics kind of went away. He needs to get back to those mechanics. I think that if he's a 37% NBA three-point shooter, he's probably a starter because, like you said, he's one of those 6'6" to 6'8" guys that can guard multiple positions. He has a 7-foot wingspan. He was 230 pounds and had 5% body fat at the combine. Like, you stand next to him, and he might be, like, the most jacked NBA basketball player, or future NBA basketball player in this case, that I've ever stood next to, period. Like, I've seen LeBron. I've seen a lot of players. LeBron, like, is not an absurd body comparison for him. He is in that class of athlete.
Wow. That's impressive.
But the shooting is the question.
The
shooting...
If he can fit in, he's just got to catch and shoot, because they've, mm-hmm. The Thunder have creators. I mean, they have two of the best scorers in the NBA. They actually have two scoring champions on their team. So all he has to do is catch and shoot. And I think that he fits that role really well. And kind of the question going forward for the Thunder is, do you take the best role player, like a 3-and-D guy available, or are you going to take the best talent available? I think that's a good question. Like, are you taking a guy who's going to fit in with this team, or are you under the assumption that maybe Durant's not going to stay and you need to just take the best talent available? So I don't think he's the best talent available there, but I do think that he may be the best, like, fit available, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so, like, the line between him becoming Danny Green and mm-hmm. becoming Andre Roberson is, like, paper thin.
Okay.
You know,
that's good to know.
if the shot doesn't come along, he's going to be a really good defender that can defend multiple positions like Andre Roberson can. Like, Roberson's going to be a pro for probably 7-8 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, Danny Green's going to be an 8-figure player this offseason. And there's pretty major difference in the caliber between those two. As far as what you said with the Thunder, I think that they probably do go best player available more than they go talent, just because, you know, they have gone for that upside pick before. I mean, they picked Perry Ellis. They picked
Perry
Jeremy
Jones.
Lamb at one point. Or, yeah, Perry Jones. Sorry, Perry Ellis from Kansas. Perry Jones. They picked Jeremy Lamb, and Jeremy Lamb was more of an upside pick that also fit a role, but he was definitely more of an upside pick.
Yeah.
That seems to be more their MO to me. I know that they picked Trey Lyle or not. Oh God, I'm looking at Trey Lyles on my thing. I know that they picked Andre Roberson. I know that they picked Josh Huestis last year.
Yep.
And those were more role players, but whenever they have a chance to go upside, I think that they do go upside. And in this draft, you're going to see some guys to where they can go upside.
I think a guy that kind of fits that upside mold a lot more than Justin Anderson's Kelly Oubre from Kansas. And he's like you said, everybody's kind of all over the place as far as their draft boards go, because there's just a ton of talent and a lot of teams just trying to figure out who they like the best. First, is there a chance that he falls to the Thunder? Second, what is his fit like in OKC?
I would be surprised if he fell to 14, but if he falls to 10, let's say. Well, I think if he fell to 10, there'd be a good chance that the Heat would take him, depending on who else is on the board. But if he fell to 10, fell to 11, he'd be an interesting trade-up candidate, because he's, again, one of those guys that's in that 6'6" to 6'8" athlete range that can guard multiple positions that are all the rage in the NBA right now, just because of their versatility defensively and their ability to play positionless offense. So with Oubre, I'm just basically calling him kind of a blank canvas as a player. You know, he shot reasonably well from three this year. When he's turned on defensively, when that motor's kicked in, he's terrific, because he's a 7'2 wingspan. He can just swallow guys up on the perimeter. He's not a great ball handler right now, but his first step's pretty good, and he can get to the rim most of the time. He gets out in transition. Like, there are a lot of skills that he has the potential to have, but he doesn't really have any of them polished yet.
Okay.
So whatever team drafts him, their goal is going to be to accentuate the skills that they want him to have, or maybe just accentuate all of his skills if they're going to try and build around him at the star. But if you're looking at him from the Thunder's perspective over the next couple of years, what they would do is they would try and accentuate the skills that he has already, and just try and continue to build those up and make him into the player they want to make him into. And with him, that could be any variety of possibilities. He could be a terrific slasher off the dribble if he improves his ball handling a little bit. He could be a potential 3-and-D guy if he can start to iron out the shooting consistency a little bit more. So there are just so many different possibilities with him that he's one of the more intriguing guys in this draft, that you can say that maybe he ends up being like a solid value at 12, but my guess is he's more of either a star or a role player in the NBA.
Okay. Yeah. I like him a lot.
Which is kind of an obvious statement, but
sure.
like my guess is that he doesn't end up having 12th overall pick value. He either ends up considerably higher or considerably lower.
Okay. He seems, I mean, when just like if you lined up their kind of, you know, scouting reports, he seems like Paul George was whenever he came out. Because Paul George was like a similar type player. Like he's a great athlete. He couldn't get his team to even the tournament. And you know, he was kind of an upside pick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a crazy comparison. I doubt that Kelly Oubre ends up being Paul George, just because that kind of development is it's an outlier, not it necessarily is the way that it happens. Also, Kelly's, I think, 3 inches shorter about yep. than Paul George. So that matters, too.
Sure.
Height's really important once you get to the NBA, just as far as getting your shot off. And Paul's able to get a shot off against anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, it's not a crazy comparison as far as the way they played in college.
What's his work ethic like? Because we've got, like, you mentioned two guys on the Thunder squad right now, Perry Jones and Jeremy Lamb, that, like, these guys have so much talent. Like, it's ridiculous. They say that, like, Perry Jones is the most athletic guy on the team, you know, and he can't get off the bench because he's got, like, no motor whatsoever. Like, neither of these guys, they look like they're about to fall asleep all the time. So, like, what's, like, I'm afraid that they could find another guy like that who just, super upside, crazy talent, but like they just don't want to get up and do it. So is Oubre a guy who's going to be able to work side by side with, you know, guys like Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, or is he a guy that's going to, you know, fall to the back of the bench and play Xbox more than he does play NBA basketball?
You know, that's an interesting question. With a lot of these guys, you can't really tell until they get into the NBA. But with Oubre, for instance, he was a guy that started on the bench this year at Kansas. I don't know if it was he wasn't really understanding what Bill Self wanted him to do defensively, or if it was simply a work ethic thing. But, you know, by midseason, he really seemed to turn it up and figure it out, basically. In the middle of December about is when that happened. So, you know, it's hard to tell. He might be a work ethic guy that, you know, struggles a little bit. You might have to push him a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's necessarily a weakness, either of his.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Another prospect, a guy that, you know, the Thunder mentioned that they interviewed several guys, Stanley Johnson, Miles Turner, Terry Rozier, Tyus Jones, Oubre, the Harrison twins, Justin Anderson, Cameron Payne. That was like the list that was put out by one of the beat writers, that these are the guys they interviewed. A guy that was kind of surprised they didn't interview, or I don't know if they didn't have the opportunity or what, Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
I think this guy, he can shoot the ball. He likes synergy, which really gets me excited. I think that this guy could be a really great pro, and he has the skills right now to fit into the NBA game today. Tell me why the Thunder may have not interviewed him, or why he may not be a fit. And then tell me why that's wrong, because I think he's a great fit in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Booker's actually who I have the Thunder taking right now. In my mock, it wouldn't surprise me if he went higher than that, though, because like you said, he's just a terrific fit in the NBA right now. As far as them not interviewing him, you know, the combine interview process is it's hit or miss as far as who you get and who you don't get, because you put in a certain number of requests and you get to interview, I think, 18 guys.
Okay.
And sometimes you just don't get the guy that you request. Just maybe it's a conflict of schedule and you know that you'll be able to get them coming up in the next month for workouts. You know, it's not necessarily something to put a ton of stock in, because okay. they'll absolutely meet with Devin Booker at some point in the next month and a half, or month and week, or month and change, whatever's left.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't worry about that, but yeah, I agree with you. I'm a pretty big Devin Booker fan. He tested really well at the combine. He came in a little bit longer than expected. He has a 6'8 wingspan, which is pretty average for an NBA shooting guard at this point. He also tested really well athletically. He had the highest lane agility drill since 2001 for an off guard, and that kind of shows up in his tape.
Wow.
Because he's very slippery if you watch him, like when he's coming off of screens, when he's moving on the baseline, when he's you know, just doing all of those little things, pump faking. He is a pretty quick first step, and he's just very, very slippery, and it makes sense that he would put up that kind of agility drill. And you know, that's the kind of stuff that really translates to the NBA. Being able to get open and being able to get free for shots is tremendously important. And whenever you have the shooting ability that he has, you know, that little bit of extra daylight is, I mean, it's deadly for someone like him. He's going to knock it down a lot. He's going to knock down almost every time, probably, if he's open. So I'm a pretty big Devin Booker fan. I don't know that he's necessarily an impact player immediately because he has some defensive problems. He's not the most intuitive player defensively. He makes some bad rotations from time to time, and a lot of that is just being young. He sometimes just loses guys. And with freshmen, with 19, 20-year-old kids, you can never really tell how tremendous they're going to be defensively. Sometimes you can see it, like with Rondae Hollis Jefferson, for instance. Like, you can see that he's going to have it defensively in the NBA. But, you know, with most of these kids, you can't necessarily tell how much of a problem or how big of an issue they might be defensively in the NBA.
Yeah,
or if maybe they'll become league average defenders. It's just it's a tricky process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that could be a big problem. And now, I mean, I know that Scott Brooks wouldn't have played a guy like that. You know, like Jeremy Lamb just can't see time because he doesn't play hard defense. But now, you know, the Thunder have Billy Donovan, a guy who loves guys who shoot threes. I think he'd be a perfect fit in the system. Because like, if you could throw out Anthony Morrow and Devin Booker in with like Ibaka and Durant and Westbrook, like, it would be just a ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a terrifying.
I mean, everybody can shoot. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I really like him.
I don't know how they would defend anyone exactly with that lineup, but that would just be so fun.
It would be really fun. So I like Booker, but you're right. He's only 18. He's a prospect for the future. Like, he's a guy that they've got to, you know, work on. And, you know, it's just kind of tough with this team because they're going for it. Like, there's no question. And I think the Thunders have to sit down and figure out, do they have time to, you know, have a guy at the end of the bench who's developing, or do they need a guy who can come in and impact now? A guy that I've liked since the beginning of my draft research, Jerian Grant, a guy I feel like that can come in and play minutes right away for the Thunder. He's big enough to where he can play alongside Russell Westbrook in stints. How does Jerian Grant fit into this Thunder team?
Yeah, he'd fit really well. He's one of those guards that he played in a wide open offensive scheme already in college at Notre Dame. They basically just told him, go to work in the pick and roll, get into the lane, and we'll surround you with shooters. I mean, they had Pat Connaughton, Steve Vasturia, even Demetrius Jackson, who shared point guard duties with him, is a pretty good shooter. So they just told Grant to get into the lane and make plays for others, and he's really good at that. And I think that the increased space of the offensive game, I think we've seen it already how that's going to affect him. I think that he might end up being a little bit more of a backup change of pace guard, but that's really all the Thunder would need of him, given that they have Russell Westbrook in place. As far as how he would fit with the Thunder, I think that you have it nailed. I think that he would be kind of what they thought they were getting in Dion Waiters, or what they were hoping they were getting in Dion Waiters. You know, they want another guy that can really handle the ball. They want another guy that can, you know, take a little bit of pressure off of Russ when necessary, or the offense won't go to complete hell whenever Russ is off the floor. So, yeah, I think that he fits in that regard. I don't know that they would go in that direction just because it does seem like they want to give Waiters another legitimate chance.
Sure.
But, you know, it might not be the worst idea to get some, maybe get a little bit of insurance.
Sure.
In case that he doesn't end up working out.
Yeah, and he's a guy that can come in and play right away, I think, on this Thunder squad, and it just gives you another option. Like, you know, if Waiters isn't playing well, or if he gets hurt, or, I mean, odds are with this way the Thunder season went, somebody's going to get hurt. So I think that he would be a great guy to go to.
Yeah, I mean, basically, here's the thing. With any of these guards or any of these wing players, they're almost all going to fit with the Thunder. I don't know that they should go big just because they have a lot of young, big guys already in place. They have Steven Adams. They have Mitch McGarry, even, who was pretty strong. So yeah, like, any of these guards are going to fit in a specific way or in a different way with Thunder.
Another guy that I absolutely love, Cameron Payne. I think he's another guy, kind of not, he's very different than Jerian Grant, but he's a great backup point. Could probably play a little bit with Russ, has some defensive instincts that I really like, and can shoot the ball pretty well too. He's a pretty good natural scorer. What do you think of Payne?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in that same boat. I think he is going to struggle defensively to start just because he's 180 pounds right now. He has long arms, but he's still very small. Smart NBA guards are going to just take him into the post and destroy him right now just because they're going to be able to. They're going to be able to bully him right off the bat. And that's fine, though. Like, he's a great scorer. He has great scoring instincts. He's able to get by guys with like a very smooth crossover, he's overall very smooth. He knows how to get into the lane. He has a very good in between game. He's a very good shooter. Like, there's not a lot to dislike about his offensive game outside of the fact that he struggles a little bit to get into get right to the rim, basically, and he struggles a little bit to finish because of strength. But given his length, and if he can eventually put on some strength, which is a question because his frame is a little bit skinny. You know, as a junior, he said at the combine he was like 150 pounds. So he's put on 30 pounds in like the last 3 to 4 years. You don't know what kind of weight his body can take. Like, can it take more of it? So he might end up always being like a skinny point that, you know, maybe can't get all the way to the rim, and that resigns him to more of a backup role. But that's fine. If you're taking a guy around the, you know, 16 to 20 range, I think that's totally cool. If you end up getting a good backup point guard that can score and create plays for others, and he's really good in the pick and roll too, which is a key thing in the NBA.
What's a comp for him?
A comp for him? That's a good question. I was going to say, I forget who I did compare him to in my, I wrote a scouting report on him already.
Okay.
That's a very good question. I'm not the biggest fan of comps.
Sure.
but I would say that, like, you're looking at a solid backup point guard that has good scoring instincts. He's going to be able to play in the pick and roll. Just a smart, heady player that may not be able to defend.
Okay. Like a Lou Williams type guy that can pass a little more?
I think Lou's a little bit more explosive than he gets credit for, okay. even post-knee injury. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's tough. I would say he's a little bit better of a shooter than Jordan Clarkson. Like, there are comps out there, but it's tough. It's tough for me to come up with one.
It's a difficult question. And I mean, most everybody's moved away from doing comps anyways, because it's just so easy to miss.
Yeah. I tried to tell CBS this year, I do not want to do comps in the slightest. So, we'll have to see if that ends up happening and going through where I don't have to do them.
It's difficult. Tyus Jones, another. I think that he should be available around 14. How would you compare him to Payne? And whose game do you like better? And what do you like about Jones?
Yeah, I've actually been asked this question a lot. I've been asked this question by, you know, like NBA teams, which one I have a little bit higher. I've been asked this question by quite a few people. And I do have Jones a little bit higher right now. He's younger. He is a little bit better of a passer. And he's also a very good shooter. He's really improved since his, you know, sophomore, junior year in high school, when that was a little bit of a question for him. His basketball IQ is just off the charts. It's absolutely incredible for, you know, an 18, 19 year old kid. He has a flair for the moment. Just all of those little intangible things that you look for in a potential starting NBA point guard, or even as a potential backup point guard, he has that. And I think he's going to be a successful NBA point guard. I think that, you know, he might not be able to play real well defensively, but he measured okay at the combine. He's 6'2 with a 6'5 wingspan. That's fine for an NBA point guard. Mm-hmm. It's not long, but it's fine. He's just a winner. He's one of those kids that, like, I kind of hate reducing kids to those ridiculous platitudes that, you know, a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. But Tyus Jones is just a winner, period. And that's you can't really ask for more than that when you get around the 15 to 20 mark again. I don't know that I would take him with the Thunder's pick, just because I don't know that the upside is there with him. I think that Campaign does have a little bit higher of an upside, I feel a little bit more confident in Tyus Jones reaching his potential, though, and becoming a strong backup NBA point guard at the worst, and maybe even like a solid starter, like a George Hill.
Okay. That's pretty good. Okay, if these three point guards are on the board, and the Thunder are going to take a point guard in Payne, Tyus Jones, and Jerian Grant, who would you advise them to take?
Yeah, you know, I thought about that last night whenever I had to do my mock draft, because I was wondering if I should have them go Booker or if I should just have them go with one of the point guards. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy who I kept coming back to, even though I have them all very close on my board, was Jerian Grant. I think he fits a little bit better what they want. I think he'd give them a lot of versatility in their backcourt. You could have him share the ball with Russell a little bit more. He's a little bit more used to playing the off guard role. So I would go Grant. I think, you know, even though he's 23, so that's a little bit scary, but you know, the fact that he's 23 isn't the worst thing in the world for the Thunder either, because right. He might be ready to come in and play a little bit earlier. And plus his athleticism is a little bit stronger than those two. So the perceived upside there might be a little bit stronger, even though he is older than them. Mm-hmm. So I would probably go Grant out of the three, and you know, he might be my second pick for them after Devin Booker at this point.
Okay. I like him a lot too. Stanley Johnson, is there any, I mean, this guy's not going to fall to 14, is he?
I doubt it. Okay. There's very little that Johnson can't do. And again, he is the prototypical guy in this draft that is in that 6'6" to 6'8", 6'9" range that can guard multiple positions. He's going to be able to guard 2 through 4 in the NBA. He's strong. He can shoot really well off the dribble, which is something that he's really worked on over the past couple of years. Mm. And, you know, he's not a super explosive athlete, but I also don't think the fact that he finished very poorly this year will continue to hold in the NBA. He finished at around a 50% clip at the rim this year, despite being a good athlete with good quickness and 235 pounds at 6'7". He's a big guy, very big kid. I think that that's eventually going to kind of rebound a little bit and improve a little bit, despite the lack of upward explosiveness. So I think that he has no chance of slipping to 14.
Okay.
if he slips to 10, though, I can't see any way the Heat don't take him.
Yeah.
He's just kind of that perfect player for them, and he would allow them to kind of make a decision. Well, Luol Deng holds their cards, but, you know, he would allow Luol Deng to leave if he does opt out.
Okay.
I'm pretty big on Stanley Johnson becoming a very good role player at the very worst in the NBA, and I think he does have a little bit of all-star potential, even if he can, you know, improve his ability to shoot at the rim, because the shooting off the dribble is very strong. The defense is pretty strong, even though sometimes he gets a little bit lackadaisical. And just the general athleticism on that end is very good. He has very good instincts. He's a great basketball player.
Yeah, I really like him, and I probably should stop reading about him because he's not going to come to the Thunder, I don't think. Okay, I'm going to give you a selection of wings. The Thunder, the really only spot that they just need to fill with a guy is two guard. Like, they've got all these two guards that are just super imperfect. None of them really fit real well. But which one of these guys would be the best fit for OKC? Oubre, Anderson, Devin Booker, or RJ Hunter?
Oh, let's take Hunter out, because I don't think the value's there for him.
Okay.
I would say they couldn't go wrong either way with Oubre or Booker.
Okay.
I would have Stanley Johnson in the class ahead of those guys.
Yeah.
And then Oubre and Booker, you know, they're going to give you different things, basically. For the Thunder, Booker might be more of a fit immediately, but he also might be able to play a little bit earlier, given his general feel for the game. I think his feel for the game is a little bit higher than Kelly's.
Okay.
But, you know, with both of those guys, I think you're looking at minimal contribution early on.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that, man, I would probably go Kelly to Shield from, you know, you'd have another potential star there in the case that Durant did leave. Mm-hmm. And he's also a guy that you continue to develop and mold him into the kind of player you want him to be. So I'd probably go Kelly just because the upside's a little bit higher, but I don't think you can go wrong with Booker either.
Yeah, I agree. I think Oubre would be really an interesting pick if he did slide that far. I don't know how he slips that far and then you don't take him.
Upside. I agree. I doubt that he slips that far. I think that, again, he's a pretty strong candidate from Detroit at 8, Charlotte at 9, Miami at 10, Utah at 12 is another very good candidate, yeah. Even Phoenix at 13. So I think that one of those teams ends up taking him, and even Denver at 7, like, it's not crazy for them to take him. Okay. So I would say that there's very little chance he ends up slipping to 14, but if he does, they'd be getting a terrific player.
Terry Rozier, I don't really know anything about this guy in the Thunder. I've interviewed him. He seems like a late first round type guy.
That was a little bit weird, I thought, that they interviewed him.
Yeah, tell me about him. And I mean, I don't really see them selecting him at 14, and it doesn't seem like he would be around for their late second round pick, so that was kind of puzzling to me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if they're looking to buy a first round pick, or if they're looking to, you know, maybe put all of their cards in this draft and trying to get Durant to stay, and maybe they're willing to sell their next first round pick for this year's, right? That, I mean, that's a circumstance where you could see them getting Rozier maybe.
Okay.
But Rozier's he's a kid that has tremendous heart. You know, he's only 6'2". He's like a combo guard at 6'2". He's a terrific athlete, one of the best athletes tested at the combine. He's 6'8" wingspan, which means he might be able to passably guard some twos. And plus, he's actually a very strong defender overall because of his motor, his heart, his length, basically all of those little things that you ask for in a potential draft pick. So I like Rozier. He's a guy that I've really had to come around on this year. I had him in the 50s to start once January rolled around. And part of his rise had to do with who ended up returning to college. But, you know, another part of his rise was after Chris Jones got kicked off of Louisville, he took over a little bit more of the point duties with Quentin Snyder. And when he did, he showed the improved ability to pass. And that was always something that scared me about him, whether or not he could actually play point guard passably in the NBA. And he proved it near the end of the year that he might have potential to do that. And he also showed at the combine that the increased space from moving the three-point line back from college to the NBA, there's a little bit more space in the mid-range and around the lane. That's going to help him because he's not necessarily a guy that has the best vision. He sometimes gets a little bit of tunnel vision when he's going towards the rim. But, you know, that increased space and those increased passing lanes, it seemed to help him because he looked a lot better and looked a lot more comfortable handling the ball and distributing to others in the half court during the 2 5-on-5 games that we saw on combine of his. So he's a guy that really, really helped himself in the combine. I have him at 27 on my board right now. I like him enough to where I feel reasonably confident that he becomes a solid NBA player. I just don't know that he's much more than a sixth man.
Okay. Another guy that I don't know a ton about that you mentioned before, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. What kind of player is he going to be? Is he worth a shot at 14, or is he just more of like a wing defender?
He's more of a wing defender. He's basically like a high-end Andre Roberson.
Okay.
In my opinion. Like, he's got tremendous quickness. He has tremendous length with 6'7" with a 7'2" wingspan. Another one of those guys, 6'6", 6'8", that you're going to be able to put on multiple guys in the NBA. That's very big now. He's a guy that can't really score yet, though, because he doesn't have any semblance of a jump shot. He can't shoot from outside of, I would say, 14 feet right now. And that's going to be the difference. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be the difference between he has a legitimate chance to be like the next Tony Allen.
Okay.
To be honest, like, he's that good of a defender. He's that strong of a defender. He can defend multiple positions. He's that quick. He's that annoying. He cares that much about defense. He has that high of a motor. He might not have Tony Allen level motor, but, he's a very high motor. that's kind of player you're looking at, though. But his offensive deficiencies are also similar in that he is decent game off the dribble for a small forward, but not a great one. He can't really shoot. But the quickness is there. He moves reasonably well off ball. He gets out in transition. So that'll help him, you know, get along early in his career defensively. And he might be one of those guys where you look at him early in his career and you go, oh, that guy's playing so early. He has a legitimate role on a good team early. How did he slip to number 22 or something like that? But then you look back 6 years later and go, yeah, that was probably about right. His upside wasn't terrific. He settled in as a solid borderline starter role player.
Okay. Last question. I was very concerned when I heard that they interviewed both the Harrison twins. I'm not huge on these guys. I'm not even sure that they're NBA players. Am I wrong to think that? Or are these guys that they're looking to take with their second round pick? Like, I was just confused and kind of miffed about that.
Yeah, you know, Andrew, I would say, I mean, I wouldn't want you to put a gun to my head in this scenario because I feel very, very unconfident of my answer. But gun to my head, if you made me guess if Andrew Harrison is an NBA player, I would say yes.
Okay.
He's big for a point guard. He understands how to bully point guards, and that does matter a little bit in the NBA. He understands how to take advantage of matchups. He has questionable decision making from time to time for a point guard. You know, sometimes he'll jack up these, you know, long jumpers with 20 seconds left on the shot clock, and it doesn't really make sense. But having said that, he's a guy that performed really well at the combine. Again, he's a guy that space that is afforded to him in the mid-range, those little cracks and crevices that open up in the mid-range after you get past that initial line of defense, they really seem to help him a lot. It's helped a lot with his vision. You know, he dominated the second half of his first 5-on-5 game. He was terrific off the dribble. No one could him. You know, he has that. He has an improved jumper to where he's comfortable taking it like 8 in the mid-range and off the dribble and knocking it down like a little bit of regularity. And he did that quite a bit, and his ball handling ability is really strong. Then in the second game, he didn't seem like he was having a terrific game, and then you looked up and he had 7 assists and 2 turnovers. So he's a guy that I think is going to be fine in the NBA, actually, even if he's like a Ramon Sessions, where he hangs around for a while. He's not really ever a terrific player, but he's a solid player. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Aaron, on the other hand, I have more questions about, because Aaron seems to not understand that the question surrounding him is about his shooting. Okay. right now, he's a shooting guard that is an inconsistent shooter.
Yeah.
He's an okay ball handler for a shooting guard. Like, he can create and get to the rim a little bit, but I don't think that that's going to hold up against better athletes in the NBA. And whenever he was asked about it at the combine, he said, yeah, no, I think that NBA teams know I can shoot. And that's not the case at all. they don't. He needs to just really sit down stand up in this case, but work on his shooting and, you know, become a consistent knockdown shooter. Like, that's his ticket in the NBA, is developing that shooting skill to where it is at an elite level, because he cares defensively. He's legitimately a pretty, I don't know that I would go, he's a pretty strong defender, but he's a good defender, at least.
Okay.
Especially when he cares, when he gets down and really wants to defend someone, he can do it. But the question is, can he shoot? And if he can shoot, he'll probably have a role in the NBA. If he sits down and evaluates what his strengths and weaknesses are and decides to really work on that shooting, he could be an NBA player. But right now, I have him undrafted. I don't know whether or not it's going to work out for him.
Okay. Sam, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Thunder have tons of choices, and I guess that the draft boards are going to become a little more concise as we get closer to the draft. Right now, things are pretty murky.
Things will probably continue to be murky, to be honest.
Okay.
It's just one of those things where there are so many guys.
Yeah.
From, you know, the 11 to 22 range that everyone's going to have a different opinion on them. I certainly have my own opinions. I don't see how it changes much.
How would you... I'm going to squeeze one more question. How would you compare the first round depth in this one to last year?
I like it a lot more. I wasn't a big fan of the depth in last year's draft, actually. I think I was a little bit on my own there. Some people did really like it, but I was not a very big fan of it. I actually thought that 2013 was a little bit deeper of a draft whenever you got into the 25 to, 37 range or 20 to 38 range, whatever, however you want to say that, late first, early second round. This one, though, I would say it's better, especially whenever you're talking in the first round. You have a guy like Christian Wood, who's a high upside guy that could end up being in that 25 range. He goes high as number 13, but he could end up being in that 25 range. Rondae Hollis Jefferson, another guy, could be in that 20 to 25 range. Same with Sam Decker. Just those kind of guys that you feel reasonably confident will have an NBA career will end up in that range. So I would say it's definitely stronger this year than it was last year.
Okay, great. Well, Sam, we can follow you on Twitter at Sam_Vicini and read your stuff at cbssports.com. Great follow. You always produce great stuff. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, anytime, Andrew. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTDpodcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.